This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. What a gift it is to be in one of those years when we have a Sunday after Thanksgiving that's not the first Sunday of Advent. So we get to celebrate the reign of Christ Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, as it's often called. And we will be doing that through the final chapter of the book of Revelation today as we come to an end of our journey through the Bible in 2023. And I look forward to hearing this text and celebrating with you today. I hope everybody had a restful and fulfilling Thanksgiving holiday. And I'm looking forward to walking with you through the season of Advent, which is approaching next Sunday. Before we share any announcements about that, however, I want to invite all of us to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in the chat to do that. Here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. I've had a chance to meet some folks who are visiting with us, and if you are perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we would love to have an email address or a phone number, a mailing address that you can put in the registration pad and give us a chance to reach out to you and get to know one another. If you are a college student or a graduate student, we would invite you to come back at noon for the chat and chew. It will be hosted here, I believe. I think in McWhorter Hall. I'll get those details straight. But the lunch will be provided for you as you head into exam week. This evening, our youth group will gather off-site for a bonfire fellowship. There's information in the bulletin, and to get the address of where that will be, you can email Emily Robbins, whose email is in the announcement, and she will send you that address. It is for youth and their parents and friends. Next week is the first Sunday of Advent, and we will begin, we are sharing in a devotional practice for the season of Advent, and it's guided by the poetry of E.E. Cummings. So as you leave worship today, if you go out through Reed Hall, there are devotional guides laid out on the table for you, and we will share those together throughout the month. Next Sunday at 4 o'clock, we'll have our Advent wreath-making workshop. It will be at 4 o'clock, and it will give us a chance to put together our Advent wreaths to take into our homes and light those candles each week to welcome in the light of the world and prepare for the birth of Christ. But today, we celebrate the reign of Christ. So let us open our hearts and minds to this time of worship together as we celebrate the risen Christ in our midst today.
Thank you. found in your bulletin. Creator God, who gives us life, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with us today. Restore our hearts and minds with your boundless love. We have come to worship you. Let it be so. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let's make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. Loving God, we easily forget about the wonder of your love. We begin our days too quickly, failing to thank you for new mercies. We allow your healing love to fade away from our daily actions. Forgive us for the times we have neglected your outpouring of grace over all people. Reveal to us new ways to share and accept your love. Restore in us a new creation that is willing to be transformed. Remind us that grace is for all people. Lead us to a life of shared grace. Lead us, O loving God. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
You may have wondered why we pray before Scripture. It is a way of reminding ourselves that we are entering into a new world, a world that is not our own. Sometimes it sounds surprisingly like our own, but other times it is strange and foreign. So in this prayer, we are asking for a hand to hold as we enter into this new world, and asking for eyes to see and ears to hear. So let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and the Word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. From the last chapter of the last book of our Bible, the Revelation, we hear these words. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. And on either side of the river was the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves were for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. But the throne of God and of the Lamb is in it, and God's people will worship. They will see God face to face. God's name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. There's no need of light, of lamp, or of sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. For the Lord, the God of the prophets, the Spirit of the prophets, has sent God's angel to tell God's people what must soon take place. See, I am coming soon. And blessed is the one who keeps the words of this prophecy in this book. The one who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." And may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. I'd like to invite any children who are here who would like to come join me to come on up. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll have a few minutes together after that beautiful reading we just heard from the very end of the Bible. Good to see you all this morning. I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving and ate lots of turkey and dressing and green beans and broccoli and healthy things too. Good to see all of you. While Mr. Derek just recited for us some of the last chapter, the whole Bible, some of you may know that this year, since January, way back at the beginning of the year, all of us together as a church have been reading through the Bible. We started in Genesis in January, and we've been reading the whole thing all through the year. And there have been small groups of people getting together every week to talk about what they're reading and to study and ask questions. And they're all different kinds of Bibles. There's one in the pews that some of y'all see, I think. Maybe some of you have one of these, or if you don't, you will. And this tells the stories of the Bible in ways that you can understand with colorful pictures and all of that. And I have one that looks really small, but it's got the whole New Testament in Greek. It's in a totally different language. So the Bible looks different. It's in different languages. It has different pictures. But it's all our book. And it's a book that, as God's people, we get to read over and over and over again. Even though we're reading the last chapter today, it doesn't mean we're done with it forever. It means we get to pick it up again and read a different part. This is a book that we can read our whole lives. And I still have lots of questions. I still don't understand lots of things about it. But somehow, when I read the Bible, and especially when I talk about it with other people who love God, I learn new things about God, and I feel God with me. So I hope that as you grow up and you go to Sunday school and you get your own Bibles, that you will always love this book and always read it, and always read it with other people too. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the Bible. It's our story. It's your story with us. It's not always easy to understand, but you bring your love to us through it, and you welcome all of our questions and all of our wonderings, and we thank you for the ways we can keep learning about you through this book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Stacy over there. And the rest can go back and sit with parents or friends. You might snuggle close because it's kind of cold in here. We will turn the heat on, I promise. I was tempted today to try and get a display up here that was like a finish line, because we are crossing the finish line today as a congregation. As I mentioned in the announcements, if you're visiting with us, if you're worshiping with us for the first time, or you haven't been in a while, we have been on this journey through the Bible together. We started in January with Genesis chapter 1. We've been reading all year long. Some of you have been very faithful in reading your Bibles all year long. And here we are in the last chapter of Genesis, of Revelation. Now, let's start all over again. Actually, we will, but in the final chapter of Revelation. And I think it's something to celebrate. Something to celebrate that we as a people have read the scriptures together. And as I've said to the children, we have probably more questions than we started with, but I believe we have experienced God's presence with us. We have learned about who God is and who we are and the great arc of God's history with God's people. It's been a tremendous blessing for me, and I hope it has for you too. But it is exciting to get to the end and to see the final chapter. And what we see in this final chapter of Genesis is the vision given to John of Patmos of the final day. That day when all things are reconciled to God, when all things are made right, when all of humankind and all of creation and all the nations of the world are brought into right relationship with God, with each other, with themselves. We have this vision of the river of life flowing through the New Jerusalem. The vision really begins in the chapter before this one, where John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and the new earth, for the former things had passed away. And in this place there were no more tears, there was no more death, no more crying, no more disease, no more war, but all things are reconciled and living in peace." And there is that river of life that never stops flowing, and it flows underneath the tree of life. The tree of life, reminds us of another tree, doesn't it? Isn't it something that at the end of this book of Revelation, which almost wasn't even included in the Bible, we have the same kind of image that the whole story started out with, the tree of life. So let's go back to that first tree and see how it sets up the story for us. We see in the second chapter of Genesis, the second creation story, that God creates a human being, names him Adam, and puts him in a garden where there is a tree of life. And God creates another human named Eve, and then God creates all of the animals, and we see in this garden that everything is in right relationship. The human beings are in right relationship with God, a relationship of complete trust and love. They're in right relationship with themselves. They walk around freely. They are naked and not ashamed. They are fully accepting of who we are. They love each other. They're in right relationship with each other. And they're in right relationship with creation. They get to name the animals, and they're invited to till the soil and tend to the garden. And all is well and all is right. Until the tempter comes along in the form of a serpent in the story and begins to plant seeds of doubt in the minds of Adam and Eve that maybe God isn't quite so trustworthy as God says. Maybe things would actually work out better if they put themselves in the place of God. They could be like God. They could run this garden on their own. And so we know what happens. They give in to that temptation, and they take the forbidden fruit, and then everything changes. What was right and good in all of those relationships is now broken and off-center. Their relationship with God is broken. They now no longer trust God, and they hide from God. Their relationship with themselves is broken. They suddenly feel ashamed of who they are and who they were created to be. Their relationship with each other is broken. When God finally comes to find them, God says, "What have you done?" And you know what Adam says? "That woman you gave me," starts blaming her. And then she says, "Well, that serpent you created," they blame others, they blame God, and they hide from God. And suddenly their relationship with the earth is changed. They will now have to work from the sweat of their brow to till the soil. Everything is now off kilter. And so they have to leave the garden. They go forth into the world. And you could say that the arc of the rest of the story are the many different ways that human beings continue to try to put themselves in God's place. How they continue to fail to trust God, to love God in return. How they continue to hide themselves and from each other and from God. And how God continues to pursue them. How God never gives up reaching out and trying to make things right with humankind. Creating a people, calling Abraham and Sarah to be a blessing for all the nations of the world. Guiding the people through the wilderness and giving them the Torah and showing them the way of life, even though they worship the golden calf and they wander off and they forsake God again and again. We can hear the words of the 23rd Psalm, which ends with this: "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." A better translation of that is, "Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me, shall chase me down all the days of my life." And isn't that not the story of the Scriptures? God chasing us down with goodness and mercy. Until we come to the moment in history when God decides to become one of us. As Christians, we see this as God's ultimate reach for humankind to become flesh, and as Eugene Peterson says in his translation, to become flesh and move into the neighborhood, to live a human life, to take on our experiences and our suffering, and to show us the way to live in right relationship with God and with each other and with creation. And when Jesus walked the earth and showed us the way through his life and through his ministry, he followed the path of mercy and love all the way to another tree. We find him first in another garden, on his knees in prayer, asking perhaps if this cup could pass from him, but through his prayers and his love and his total dependence on God, he ultimately says, "Not my will, but yours," reversing the choices that Adam and Eve made in the garden. And so for the sake of love, to be in full solidarity with humankind, to finally reach around us all and bring us back into right relationship with God, he willingly gave his life on a tree. And 3 days later, he arose. And it's no accident, I believe, that in the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene comes upon Jesus in a garden and mistakes him for a gardener, reminding us of that first perfect garden. And so now we, who claim this story, who follow this Christ, on this Reign of Christ Sunday, are reminded of the final chapter of the book. We're reminded of where we are headed. We are headed toward that day when all of creation is restored and reconciled in a new heaven and a new earth, and the risen Christ holds all in his arms in mercy and grace. where there is no more violence, no more poverty, no more hierarchy, no more oppression, no more suffering. This is the day that we are drawn toward. But we're not there yet. And as we head into the season of Advent, we are living in that tension. Advent is a season that reminds us of the in-between times, that we, what is and what is not yet. And so we are invited to live into this vision put before us in Revelation, to live toward that day. You know, one of the beautiful things about this final image of this final tree in this final chapter of Revelation is that it is now in a city. And to me, a city is something that we human beings build. And so here God is taking our work and taking what we have done and incorporating it into God's new thing that is being born. What we do with our time on this earth, in this life, matters. It's part of God's story. And God, throughout the scriptures, shows us that God is going to be working with us and through us, human beings, to build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So what do we do now? If we have this vision before us, how does that guide our daily living? We have before us the vision of a world that is in right relationship with God. And so we seek in our lives to be in right relationship with God, to be people of prayer, to accept the fact that we are accepted and beloved just as we are, to recognize that in our relationship with God, there's no room for shame, that we are loved perfectly by God. And so we can be in right relationship with ourselves, with our lives, with our own bodies, and be genuinely who we are. We live to be in right relationship with each other. So in our relationships with one another, we live with integrity and honesty, in hope and accountability, and above all, love. We live to be in right relationship with creation. And so we work alongside God to bring about justice and peace and the end of poverty and oppression in our world. We work in the city to make it a better, more peaceful, more just place for all people. And we hold on to this vision that one day all the peoples of the earth will be gathered together in the beautiful city of God, worshiping the one true God. If that's not enough to build our lives on, I don't know what is. My friends, we hear the good news today that the victory has already been won. We have the vision before us of God's hope for the world and for all time. So let us go from this time with this book in our hand, with hope in our hearts, to live as God's people today and every day. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Amen.
Friends, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and to join me in reciting the affirmation of faith, which is printed in your bulletin and are found on page 883 of your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers and to remind you that as a community of care, we have the opportunity and privilege to be praying with you. If you wish to make your prayer request known to our clergy team, that we can be praying with you throughout the week, you can follow the appropriate links on our website or fill out the prayer card in the pew right in front of you and leave that card in the offering basket during our time of offering. I did want to let you know of a couple of pastoral concerns within our church and in the life of our congregation. We are remembering the life of Fred Wheel Ted Lazenby, who passed away on November 15th. Services were held for Ted on November 21st at St. George's Episcopal Church. We're also joining Daryl, Jeannie, Aiden, and Miles Watson in their mourning at the death of Daryl's father, Daryl Everett Watson Sr., who passed away on November 18th. Services were held on November 25th in Dover, Tennessee. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of glory, you sent Jesus to be our prophet, our priest, and our king. And you show us his face in the face of those on whom the world turns its back. As the tempted Christ was hungry in the wilderness, make yourself known to all who search for food, especially those in our city who struggle to piece meals together, either for themselves or for their children. As the crucified Christ was thirsty, hanging on the tree, reveal your love among those who lack clean water or a means to quench their thirst. As the infant Christ was a stranger in Egypt, manifest your presence through any who are pilgrims near and far, and amidst the refugees of war in Israel, Gaza, and Ukraine. As the newborn Christ was naked in the manger, live in all who experience shame and exposure. Comfort those who in this holiday season are reminded that they are not truly known or embraced within their families. Might they know the love and assurance of your grace and the touch of friends who see them and know them for who they truly are. As Christ in his passion was sick to the heart in Gethsemane, declare your grace among those who suffer in body and mind and spirit. And as Christ under judgment was prisoner under Pontius Pilate, be with all who are incarcerated by folly, injustice, or fear. Renew your church by making it resemble Jesus, our crucified King, our Savior, our Lord, and our closest friend, who is teaching us to pray his prayer. As together we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, at this time, let us now offer our gifts and collect them as a sign and act of gratitude in response to God's generosity and grace. Let us give our gifts in light of the God who gives far more than we could ever possibly ask or imagine.
We've come to the end of the book, but the story is not over. God is still writing the story, and you have a chapter, and you have a chapter, and I have a chapter, and together we have many chapters to share. So let us go forth to share the good news of God's pursuing grace that will never, ever let us go. Amen.